Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Last week, Caleb and I started a discussion in our series called Guarded. There's two ways to think of that word guard. One, well, you put up your guard to protect yourself, to kind of keep people away. You're guarded because you don't want to get close to people. You don't want people to know you. That's a lot of times what happens at church. We come in guarded because we don't want to get too involved and we don't want people to know us. And so we keep a guard on our hearts. But then there's another interpretation in Scripture where we guard our hearts against the evils of the world around us. We guard our hearts against the negatives, the doubts and fears that can grip so many lives. It's kind of like guarding your computer or your iPad, your iPhone, or whatever device you use against virus, right? You don't want the scam, the spam, the phishing. You don't want them in your device because now they got your credit card numbers and they got your identification and they got your pictures and, you know, it can be tragic. So you guard your device. So are you guarding your heart in a godly way so that the world's virus does not come in? Are you keeping your heart clean from the virus, from the influence of a negative world? And I'm going to talk today about having a whole heart or an orphan's heart. So we'll define those things as we go. But let's start in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs is our book of wisdom in the Bible, chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay, keep the scripture up there for a minute. Look at this, guys. He's talking about the Bible, the word of God, and he says, give attention to the word. How many remember the message you hear in church by the time your lunch is done in a couple hours? Don't raise your hand because you will hurt my feelings. Most in this service right now, in 2 hours, if I asked you, tell me a scripture I talked about in church, you wouldn't know. You don't remember. Because we're just kind of here going through the motion. We're going, I'm glad to be here and I chose to be here and it's all good. I go to church. But we don't really pay attention. We're not learning like this is gonna matter. This is gonna make a difference. Now there are some are. They're taking notes, they're looking up the verses, they're into it. They realize this could change everything. And I'm encouraging you to become that kind of person, not just because I want you to, but because look what the scripture says. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What's coming to your ears and eyes more than anything else? What's coming to your ears and eyes more than anything else? If I took your phone right now and went to the page which shows me all the things you do on your phone, 2 minutes a day on your Bible, 4 hours a day on Instagram and X, 4 hours a day on Hulu, because you are hulu'd up. Okay, you understand what I'm talking about. What's coming into our ears and eyes? Now, parents, you're trying to guard your children, right? You're trying to guard their hearts by protecting what comes into their ears and eyes. Am I right? Parents, you don't want your kids watching things, hearing things that are evil. So you guard their ears and eyes because you know that's what gets in their heart. So if you let your child watch movies that create fear, anxiety, you know, negative eyes, negative ears, and then they wake up in the middle of the night crying because they had a bad dream, what do you know as a parent? You know, oof, I can't let them watch that stuff. It immediately comes out. It immediately manifests in bad dreams and fear and they're crying and or, you know, whatever. And so we know that for our children, but do we know that for ourselves? What's coming into your ears and eyes? It's shocking to me the number of horror movies that keep getting produced, which means they're getting watched. Because they don't produce stuff if we don't watch it. Am I right? Some of you, no matter what I say, you look as if you've never heard anything like what I'm talking about. But I'm pretty sure you understand, right? They wouldn't be producing horror movies if people didn't watch it. Why would you watch horror? Just the word. Do you want a horror life? A horrible life? A life filled with horror? Well, then don't feed it into your ears and your eyes. So this is what the Bible's teaching us. Okay, next verse, 22. If you pay attention to my words, they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep, which means guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So the word, the Bible, the truths of the Bible are life to you. They're like vitamins in your spirit. They're like minerals and energy in your spirit and health to your flesh. Now, maybe you would say, well, I read the Bible one time and I didn't get energized. I didn't get healed. I didn't get nothing. It's kind of boring to me. Okay, we're not talking about you read one verse one time. We're talking about when you pay attention, give attention to the word, and it becomes part of your life. It becomes the way that you think, and then eventually the way that you live, and it affects your life because it's in your eyes and ears regularly, right? So when you get that, then everything starts working. And God's life, God's presence, God's spirit starts working. And one more time on that verse, look at the results. It is life and health. And guard your heart, because out of it comes all the issues of life. And when you study the word issues, it literally means the borders of your life. So what are the borders of your life? Are you locked in to a small life, or do you have open borders to a large life? Do you live in a tiny world? Don't they have those little homes now? They call them a tiny house. Like, you can wash your hands in the sink, go to the bathroom, and cook dinner at the same time. Yeah, I don't want that house. But okay, maybe it's good for Airbnb. So do you have a tiny life, tiny world, or do you live in a wide open world? That's dependent on your heart. What's coming through your eyes and your ears? So think of it like this. based on what you view on your screens, how's your future? So if you're viewing on your screen the promises of God, teaching from God, positive things from God, life-giving messages, hope, encouragement, all things that are godly, then it's empowering you. Your marriage will be better. Your finances will be better. Your health will be better. Your life, you're moving forward in life because out of your heart come the issues of your life, right? But if what you're feeding into your mind is the negative, the argument, the worldly view, the doubts, the fears, the horrors, the problems, and you're just caught in that worldly mentality, that's normal to you. What is negative, what is normal in the media and everywhere, that's normal to you, then that's your future. Divorce, financial trouble, hatred, division, problems. Because it's what's filling your heart. So we want you to have the highest possible life. We want you to live the most abundant life. We want your marriage, your kids, your finances, your health, everything about you to be blessed. Right? That's our desire here at church, is we just want you to rock it, to live it, to enjoy it, right? That's why God created you for, he said, an abundant life, right? Jesus came for one reason, that you might have life and life more abundantly, right? So however you want to define that, what you think abundant life is, I want to help you get that. So you have to decide to get your heart right. So if I wanted to play football and I was going to be, you know, an amazing football player, I would know I'm going to have to work my butt off and get in shape, which is why I will never be a football player, right? But if that was my goal and I was a young person, I would have to be in that, I'd have to be working it, right? You gotta get strong, you gotta get fast, you gotta get tough, you gotta be able to handle it. If I was gonna take on Wembanyama in game three of the playoffs, I know I'm going to have to be able to jump about 5 feet in the air because he's 7'5". I'm only 6'3". And when I hit 70, I think it went to 6'2". So for me to jump to defend against Wemby, I'm going to need a lot of steroids. How could I get ready? Okay, it's impossible. But for the sake of my story, I would have to get better. I would have to, if I want to do something like that, I got to commit to it. Okay, how many people say, I want a good marriage, but I don't really commit to it? I want a great family. I want my kids to be blessed. I want them to have the best education. I want to prosper. I want to have financial freedom. I want to live a long life. But we don't commit to it. We don't put our heart in it. And so that's why we get to the end of our life. There's so many things I wish I could do, but can't afford it. Don't have time. My back hurts. My head hurts. My husband left, blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on, man. Put your heart in it. Out of your heart proceed all the issues of life, right? You can create. You are made in the likeness and image of God, and you can create that vision of what you desire in life. Now, Wendy just talked about one of our members has been believing for years, all the way back to the SeaTac church, which would make it 20 years believing for something. And now, boom, comes to pass. Okay, well, Wendy and I have been believing stuff for 48 years. It's coming. It's coming to pass, right? We're not talking about easy. We're not talking about quick. We're talking about abundant life. And so we've got to get our heart in it and get our heart right, because out of your heart come all the issues of life. If you think that your blessed life comes from the next Visa card, you're not going to get it. If you think your abundant life comes from the right political party, it's not going to happen. If you think when the world changes, because I'm waiting on the world to change, not going to happen. In fact, any change will probably be for the worse. But you can still live the life God's called you to, because God is greater than this world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you'll get your heart connected with God, you can live this abundant life no matter what's happening around you, right? So that's what we're trying to get. When your heart is strong in the Lord, you then start overcoming the challenges, the negatives, and you move into a place of blessing. However, you got to guard your heart. You can't let the world program your heart. You can't open that fishing expedition. Do you get a text every day that says something like, are we still getting together at 4? And it's from a number you don't know. You have no contact on that number. Just, this number seems so familiar to me. Could you tell me what your name was? Fishing. People are fishing. What does that mean? They're trying to find a way into your devices. Again, half of you are looking at me like you've never experienced this. Is it really that you never have? Or it's just taken you a while to interpret my weak language? Still don't know. Okay. But that's what's happening. The world's fishing to get into your heart and put doubts and fears and worries and negatives and angry and unforgiveness and all the stuff that keeps your heart weak. And so you want to win? You want to prosper? You want to live this abundant life? You got to guard your heart and get that whole heart so that you can have the life God's called you to live. Think of it like this. Your heart is your womb. And to be pregnant with a new career, to be pregnant with a great marriage, to be pregnant with a prosperous life, an abundant life, your womb has to be healthy. So Dr. Cho used to teach us about when you pray, you get pregnant. It was always fun to listen to Cho, you know, from Korea, speaking English, his accent, I had to really listen. So you are getting pregnant through prayer, and then you give birth to a miracle. And the challenge is, from the moment you get pregnant, it's time until you give birth. Not just 9 months. It, like Wendy's friend, it was 20-some years. And for Wendy and I, it will be maybe 48 years before some of our things will come to pass. Okay, but let's go. What else are we going to do? Give up? Fail? Die young? Become an alcoholic? No. I'm going to believe. I'm going to continue to pray. And out of my heart, I'm going to give birth to that great family, to that great career, to that blessed life, to that abundant life that God has planned for me. Okay? That's your heart. It's your womb where you give birth to the life God has for you. All right? If you're with me, give the Lord a hand clap right there. Now, the reason it's important that you don't just stay broken, the broken heart, and also the Bible refers to the bruised heart. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal broken hearts. Some translations say, he sent me to heal bruised hearts. Why is it important that you don't keep or allow yourself to stay broken? Because then you can't give birth. So we've all had a broken heart at one time or another. Maybe it was a relationship that failed, or abuse, or addiction, or just foolishness, dumb decisions. We embarrassed ourselves and we just ended up in a terrible situation. Our heart is broken. Our heart is bruised. And when your heart is bruised, you get a little touchy, don't you? Recently, Wendy was hiking, coming down a mountain. She fell. She broke her wrist, right? You've heard the story. And they did surgery on her wrist, and then they put like a soft, almost like a little brace over it, but it wasn't a hard cast. And we said to the doctor, you're not gonna give her a hard cast. And he said, no, she can move it. We just don't want other people to grab her hand. We actually put the brace on it just to remind her and others, you know, you don't pick up the suitcase. We're just trying to protect it from being bruised even more. I thought, very interesting. Some of us need a little note to ourselves. Don't let your heart get bruised more. Don't get more hurt. Don't get more angry. Don't get more upset about things that have already touched your heart. And get your heart healed. So Wendy wore a little brace there for a couple of weeks just so that she would protect it and not get bruised even worse. But some of you have been bruised since a child. And rather than get healed, it just keeps getting touched, right? Somebody keeps pushing on it. Somebody keeps bumping it. Somebody keeps grabbing it. And the next guy, and the next relationship, and the next issue, and you just get more and more hurt and more angry, or you carry more and more resentment, which is unforgiveness, right? So why is it important that we get our heart healed? Because that's your womb. That's where you can give birth to a great marriage. That's where you can give birth to a fun relationship. That's where you can give birth to a job that you love and where you can prosper. That's where your dreams start coming to pass. So if you let your spiritual womb, your heart, stay bruised, you will never give birth to the things you really want. Well, now some people, here's their attitude. Well, you can't tell me what I'm gonna do. Okay, keep your funky, rebellious heart. But just remember this, when your life sucks, you did it to yourself because you just wouldn't let your heart get healed, right? You keep your attitude bad. You keep your heart upset. And that's where you give birth to your dreams. Now, you have sovereignty from God to decide the condition of your heart. Only you do. No one can fix your heart for you, right? I went to many different counselors when I was a kid and involved with so many problems, had so many you know, depressions and anxieties and addictions and all of that. I would go to various counselors. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You went to the TA counselor. That's transactional analysis, right? So the TA counselor used to be popular, and their saying was, I'm okay, you're okay. But through the years, I've learned, I'm okay, you're okay, sometimes. You know, it's a little, not really a biblical perspective. And then I went to Gestalt therapy. Anybody ever heard of Gestalt therapy? And that was another training method to try to get you to fix your mind and your life. And then I went to reality attack therapy. I like that one. That was pretty strong. Reality, and you got to attack it. And that freaked a lot of people out and would never pass government approval nowadays. My point is, I'm telling you, I went to all the counselors. I tried all kinds of stuff from the world to get my head together. And some of you have too. You try things to get your head together. Let's follow the biblical plan. We're going to guard our eyes and ears. We're going to get God's word in our heart. We're going to think biblically. We're going to start seeing the world biblically. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit and the word of God to heal our heart. And then we're going to believe that out of our heart, we can live this Christian life. We can be like Jesus. When we get our heart right, which is connected with God, not perfect, but following God, now we can start living like Jesus, right? We aren't him. We're just following him. But you can't follow him with your heart all messed up, right? So this is why it's a big deal. It's important that you guard your heart. And remember, you have sovereignty. You decide to let those problems go, or you decide to keep them. You decide to forgive, or you decide to stay angry. You decide to stay hurt, or you decide to be healed. You don't decide everything that happens to you. You do decide how you're going to respond to it. Recently, I've been sitting in some circumstances I really did not want to be there. Man, just things with Sound Transit and court stuff and all. I would rather be pretty much anywhere. But I decided I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to watch God work. I'm going to believe the Lord wants me right here, right now. I'm gonna sing when I can. I can't sing in every, you know, you don't want to sing in appropriate places, but I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna witness to somebody. I'm gonna find someone today and tell them about Jesus, right? In other words, rather than just being frustrated and depressed, you decide the condition of your heart. You have sovereignty over your heart. So look at it like this. You control the guard on your heart, and then your heart controls your future. You control the eyes and ears, the things that go in your heart, but your heart controls how you will live tomorrow. Let me show you, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is talking to us. Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Okay, so you know, you've heard that. The tree is known by its fruit. Sometimes we want to blame everything, but the fact is, the tree is known by the fruit. So whatever's growing out of your life, that's what's in your heart, right? That's what's going on. It's funny, yesterday
we have a little electric four-wheeler, and I'm riding Mahal, our four-year-old. We're riding around the yard, and Mahal said, go over to Grandma's tree. So Grandma has a group of fruit trees. So we ride the four-wheeler over, and Mahal says, what is this? He's pointing at one of the trees. I said, I don't know. I think it's an apple, but it could be a pear tree. I'm not sure, because there's no fruit on it yet. So I couldn't tell what it was. Little did I know, him and Grandma had just been there the day before, and Grandma had explained what each tree was. The four-year-old is testing Papa. You're like, Papa, it's obvious. Grandma already told me. So all of that to say, we can tell what's going on in your heart by what's the fruit growing in your life. Right? You third service people. Thank you. Okay, look at verse 34. Brood of vipers. Okay, so Jesus is talking to Pharisees, right? Religious people. He got ticked off at religious. He never talked this way to the average person. You know, the business guy, the struggling guy, the sick guy, even the prostitute or the drunkard. But the religious person, look at you brood of vipers. He called them snakes. Can you imagine Jesus calling people snakes? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, now here's the thing. When you say stuff and it's kind of normal for you to say it, it's showing the abundance of your heart, right? So if every day I was saying, man, I can't afford to pay the rent. I can't afford to pay the car. I can't afford gas. I can't handle these financial prices. If every day I was complaining about money and complaining about all the things that I want to do, can't do because of finances, then I would know the abundance of my heart is poverty, right? Because I could be saying, I believe God is going to provide finances. I believe I'll have enough money to buy the gas and go where I want to go. I believe God's going to make a way for me to prosper so that I can take my child to the school that I want my child to be in. I'm not going to turn my child over to the government because I can't afford anything else. I believe God is going to bless my business, right? What's in your heart? That's what's coming out of your mouth, right? If you're one of those people who's always talking about your pains, man, my knee is hurting today, and last week my back was hurting, and I'm pretty sure tomorrow my head's going to hurt, and I mean, it's always something with some people, right? To just always bring it up. Well, you know, maybe if you lose some weight, your knees won't hurt. Well, you know, I would, but the doctor won't give me. It's always something, right? So what's in the abundance of your heart? That's coming out your mouth. I don't have time, and I'll never get ahead. Life is so hard. Nobody knows the troubles I bear. You can sing songs about it, right? All your friends in low places, right? This coming out of our mouth. It's prophetic picture of your future. Man, I had my 40th birthday. It freaked me out. I'm already 40. I didn't even think I'd make it this far. Dang, 50 is really gonna suck. If you make it that far, you might not make it. Let's pray you have a heart attack so you can be free from your suffering. Come on, man. What's the abundance of your heart? We're prophesying to our life. We're speaking to our future. Remember, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now look at this, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Where do good things come from in your life?
Well, if I could get that SNAP funding, where do good things come into your life? Well, if I could just get the government to send me a check, where do good things come into your life?
At least according to Jesus, they come out of the good things of your heart. You have gifts, you have talent, you have love, you have care, you have compassion, you have abilities. Bring it out and God will bless and prosper your life. Yeah, well, I tried that, Pastor, but my boss won't give me a raise. You know, if your boss doesn't know how valuable you are, God will move you to a new place. And God will give you people around you who know how valuable you are. I mean, you just, for every negative you spit out, I have a positive answer. Right? Well, I'm already 70. How am I supposed to get this working for me? There are many people who started late in life and everything changed. So many people. There's just no excuse. Race, nationality, age, education. You cannot talk me out of believing the Bible. And can I say this too? I believe the Bible more than I believe you. Right? Because I have people all the time tell me, well, Pastor, that didn't work for me. Yeah, well, I don't know what was going on with you, but I know this works. Right? So you have to understand, out of your heart comes good things. Now, out of your heart can come some bad things. Right? So it's like, all right, I'm not perfect. I'm renewing my mind, I'm getting my heart right, I'm forgiving, I'm staying strong in the Lord, I'm guarding my heart, I'm guarding my eyes and ears, because I want to bring forth an abundant life. I want to pass life on to my children. I want to pass it on to my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren talking about things that we taught them and things that we put into their life. So you got to be saying it. You got to be saying it and bringing it out of your heart. And if you don't have it in your heart, it won't come out, right? It's like people who thought they were pregnant, but they just ate too much. No, you got to really be pregnant to bring forth that baby. And you got to really have it on the inside to bring it into your life. And that's what God wants for you. Your heart is your inner person. Your body, flesh, the outer person. Your heart is your inner person. It's made up of your spirit and your soul. Do you know that the Bible says you think in your heart? A lot of times people say, well, my heart, you know, that's where I feel things. It's also where you think. Your heart is your spirit and your soul. It's not located here. By the way, this is your physical heart. This is not your inner person. Your inner person is made up from all the workings of your spirit and your soul, emotions, feelings, thoughts. So your spirit and your soul, look in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. I'll just quickly go there because we got to close and wrap it up. The word of God is alive. I like the old King James better there. Alive and powerful. And then look, it even divides soul and spirit. It's the only thing that can. Which are, look at the end, of the heart. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's the only thing that can divide soul and spirit. And that is the heart. So we'll get back to it next week when we have time. I just want you to know that your heart is how you're thinking, how you're feeling, all of that inner person. And if your heart is connecting with God and following God and getting full of God's word, your future is going to be great.
I mean, tomorrow, next month, next year, the rest of your life, oh, you're going to have challenges. But you're so strong. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yeah, there'll be some bad stuff that happens. But God is working in you. And you're going to find a way. You're going to have an answer. You're going to have an idea. You're going to be saying to your husband, well, I had an idea. He's going to be like, okay, let's go. Because you just get in life. And your life is abundant. Jesus came for you to have an abundant life, right? Well, Pastor, I'm just trying to survive. No, we're trying to get you way beyond surviving. No, we want you to live an abundant life, and it's dependent on your heart. So out of the heart, let's start bringing forth good things. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.